looking for a boldness and confidence to get through the day today? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon. Give him a listen for a moment.
We can have boldness and confidence in this world towards God. Boldness for the day of judgment, John says, that translates now to how we interact with the world and live with the world. If the cattle on 1,000 hills are the Lord's, if all the works that are in it are His, then because of Jesus, it's mine too.
Kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're in Genesis 21, verses 22 through 34. The message is called Kings, Kingdoms, and One Lord Over All. The encouragement and comfort that is laid out in front of us here in this passage is really quite overwhelming if you will allow it. And it is our prayer that you'll take the next 20 minutes or so and do just that. Join us, won't you? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Abraham sees him wipe out Sodom. He sees the wickedness. He thinks there's no good, no good. And he gets a little bit of the Elijah syndrome. I'm the alone one left. Well, as he dumped off his wife, Abimelech gets a death dream from God. And notice how this Lord is Lord over all. He enters the dream of this powerful king and says, "You're a dead man. Look at the protection. Well, I am your shield." And Abimelech comes to Abraham and says, "What have you done to me? What did I do? Why are you treating me like, what did you see in me that caused you to do that and put me under that kind of curse before God?" I think about this. It would really be shocking if we looked over the course of our lives. The things that we did and the choices that we have made, living for gain, being greedy, living for security, living for protection in this world, living for money, how much we probably have actually hurt unbelievers along the way. You ever stopped and thought about it? Because what he did was lie to save his own skin. And if you ever read something like Psalm 121, you begin to think, what if I actually lived believing this? "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper." You let that set in. "I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." Shouldn't that then inform everything that we do? Shouldn't it? Sometimes we are our worst witnesses by refusing to live by faith, and we demonstrate before everyone a lack of trust in the Lord. How do I know? Because the first thing you do when you're stressed is you pick up a phone. And you're not on your knees. Now here we are. The shocking actor in this story is the Lord. Chapter 21, he gives the son. All these years of agony and 100-to-100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman holding, that's unheard of. News is spreading in the realm. This is getting out. If you think our grapevine's bad, you should have been in the Philistine grapevine. They are talking. Calls were going out everywhere. Rumors of a coming deliverer and a king who would be over the land. This was known. This had been promised. Every king's nightmare in that realm. Every king's nightmare. And all of a sudden, Abimelech hears about it. And the first kingdom, first time kingdoms ever mentioned in the Bible, it says it was Nimrod's kingdom. And then the second time kingdom is mentioned is here in chapter 20 and 21, Abimelech's kingdom. We have kings, we have kingdoms. Here sits in this territory one king. And all of his servants, Abimelech, are looking at this king, Abraham. And he has just born a son. Here's the heir. That is it. You know how kings always wanted a son. You know how many kings in history put to death their wives because they wouldn't produce a son. Here's one at 100? And his servants see that, and they start stopping up his wells or taking his wells of water to push him out of the land. They want him out of the land. Moses writes this, and he wants us to see this connection, because at that time, notice how what it says, right at that time, as soon as the son is born, Abimelech comes with his king, his commander of his army, Pichol. He's there. This is a mighty nation. This is the Philistines, and he is positioning himself. Listen, when you're a mighty king and rumors are spreading about someone in your territory of a mighty deliverer who at 100 has the heir, what do? You take him out. Abraham was deathly afraid of this king and his kingdom, remember? And that brings us to the great moment in verse 23. Abimelech comes. I want you to just look at 23 first. We'll back up in a minute. Now, therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity. But as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned. Do you know what he's asking? Abraham should be asking him for protection and kindness. That's not who's coming. And this is a remarkable moment. Notice who's come. This king essentially asks Abraham that he would not harm him. I don't want you to harm me and my, he's looking to the future, and my posterity. Be kind to us. I've been kind to you. Be kind to me. This is an amazing moment. It's baffling. But the whole thrust of the passage, the whole heart of this passage is seen in his first words out of his mouth. God is with you in all that you do. I love that statement. This is the truth highlighted in this passage. God's with you. Now, at some point, I believe that needs to get a hold of us. If you have ever struggled with the fundamental difference between you and the world, the Christian and the world, it's not that we ever first loved him. It's that he first loved us. And behold, what manner of love the Father has that he would lavish these blessings down upon us that we should be called sons of God. And I'm overwhelmed because in this account, both Abraham and Abimelech are now realizing one thing. God's with him. God is with this man. Wherever he goes, the Lord is with him, and he's blessing him in whatever he does. Let's start with Abimelech's perspective for a moment. I'm looking at you, and I can see this, Abraham. I can see that God is with you. When you see the great bracket here, you kind of can begin to put together the challenge and the whole story, can't you? When the Christian lives in complete fear and doubt and expresses a lack of trust in the decisions that he makes and is dishonest and hurtful to non-believers, notice how here what happens. There's something different now. Everyone has noticed. And what is it? Abimelech sees it, and the tie is this. The tie is this. He's looking at all the material blessing, but that's not really what this is about. The tie to this section is, there's the son. He's been given the son. I wonder, when people look at our lives, what do they see? I wonder. Do they see us believing in God's promise that we have a Savior and that the Son has been given to us? When you look back over life, what has been the truth? The truth is that we've shown a lot of hypocrisy, and the truth is we run frantic, and the truth is we're all messed up, and we are hopping from here to here to here to here, and we live almost unbelieving before a lost and dying world when we're tested and tried. And we look no different and we act no different than our unbelieving neighbor next door. Maybe worse. Here's the truth. He never left you. The whole time. And in the fullness of time, He sent his son. And when you begin to realize what you have, when you begin to really believe what you have, when you realize who you are, the first thing that begins to happen is your presence begins to diffuse something. You realize that? That when we begin and show the world of what living by faith looks like, something's being demonstrated. You know, Paul said this all over the New Testament. When he confronted the worldly church in Corinth, it's fascinating what he said to that worldly church. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Through us, he spreads knowledge of Christ everywhere. Amazing statement. Is your presence like that to those around you? You could have money, you could have everything under the sun, but what is all of that if the Lord's not with you? Paul said in 2 Corinthians, for God said, let light shine out of darkness. And that light has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There should be a radiance coming from us. There should be a joy coming from us. There should be a confidence coming from us. It's hard to explain it. It's hard for us to explain it. But the single great difference should be that very light that you've been given. Some will be attracted to that light. Some are going to come to that light. Some are going to question that light. Some are going to hate that light. But either way, it's evident. God is with us in everything that we do. But it's not just that others are seeing this. It's that I'm beginning to realize it. And that's what's happening to Abraham here. What was one of the great blessings we studied in Romans that the Christian gets? The Christian gets the spirit of adoption by which he can cry out, Abba, Father. And what does the Spirit do? The Spirit is bearing witness with our spirits that we are children. You're not on your own to figure that out. The Spirit is assuring your hearts that God is with you. And what does that begin to do? It changes us. The point I'm driving home in the sermon is this. How are we strengthened in faith? How was Abraham strengthened in faith? It's summarized in the book of Hebrews. Here's how it goes. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All over the Bible. That's my covenant promise to you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So then, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You see the consequence and the effect. He's with me. Nothing can take him from me. And then when I see that, it changes the way I go forward. It shows what a life of faith is. I am to be a what? Blessing. And so many Christians are miserable complainers. How much are we torn by fears? Fears of conflict and fears of life and fears of children, and I mean, you could go right down the list. And what do we display before the world? What do we display before our brethren? In chapter 20, he's scared to death of Abimelech. That's not what you have now. Who's fearing who? And now you see a different side to Abraham. Abimelech says, swear a covenant with me. And you say, whoa, Abraham, you shouldn't do that. Because you see, Israel was later told, when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you conquer them and destroy your enemies, and you make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, Deuteronomy 7. That was in a theocracy. You wipe out your enemies in a theocracy. We're not in a theocracy. Abraham was not in a theocracy. So what's going on here? And we'll look tonight. This really translates to how we live before civil governing authorities and unbelievers. I don't want any covenants under the theocracy. That's holy war, Abraham, or Israel. Wipe them out. Abraham enters into the covenant with a pagan king, not a believer. Abimelech, this is your God. What is he doing? And I respond, believing the promise. Why do I say that? There was more to the promise than just the sending of the son. What had God said would happen to Abraham? Listen back to chapter 12. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the nations, Gentiles, families of the earth will be blessed. My purpose for you, Abraham, is to diffuse blessing to society and to the nations of the earth. This king is coming to the feet of Abraham asking for what? Mercy. And Abraham sees this, and I believe he's looking at the day of Jesus, and he's thinking, the Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising, and it will be a day of mercy. I love what follows, because Abraham now is believing. He's holding the son, and kings are coming and foreshadowing the day when kings and kingdoms would all come and bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ. One Lord over all. But the last aspect of that promise is highlighted, and we're going to close with this. There was a well that Abraham had dug. Wells in that day were a real source of life, and Abimelech's servants had tried to push Abraham out of the land because of that well. And Abraham rebukes Abimelech for the injustice, and the Christian with boldness should always be able to speak against injustice because we share the conviction of our Lord. Big conviction. And so Abimelech concedes that this covenant is made. Sheep are given. Here's the point this morning. Abraham now has the very first physical proof that God has given him the land. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. In one chapter, what's happened? The son has come. A king, the greatest king in the region, is bowing. And he is given a down payment on the land. This is a remarkable chapter. Physical proof that the land is his. A well, the source of life, so that he can live, foreshadowing what would come. And one day, that's what we have. God would send his son. The nations would be subject to him, and he would set up a banner for them as we, those servants, wait for the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness shall dwell. It's all ours. It's all yours. You know it's all yours as we wait together. Verse 32, they make a covenant at Beersheba. Abimelech rose with Pichol, the commander of his army, and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned many days in the land of the Philistines. He stayed there a long time. He got to enjoy in this world a time of peace. Calvin would say he got to get a taste of what was to come in peace. God gave a taste of the rest that is his. And you know, every time you come to worship, because Abimelech goes his way, Abraham goes his way. What does Abraham go do? He worships. When you come to worship, you're getting a taste. You're getting the well of living water. What an amazing account that the everlasting God is with Abraham. And Abraham says it, Lord, you are everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting, you are my God. And that everlasting God has chosen to be with me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I think it's important at moments like this to see how he has been to you in the course of your lives, don't you? Look at how many times you were faithless and he remained faithful. And ponder that today. And if you really believe that God is with you and you're starting to see that and you know that by the testimony of the Spirit, if you can boldly say the Lord is my helper, what can man do to me? Why would we ever go through life in fear? Why would we not get great boldness in the faith? Why not? We can have boldness and confidence in this world towards God. Boldness for the day of judgment, John says, that translates now to how we interact with the world and live with the world. If the cattle on 1,000 hills are the Lord's, if all the works that are in it are his, then because of Jesus, it's mine too. And if that's true, that's what awaits me in the new heavens and the new earth. I don't have to fear in this life. God has put his dread in them. God has put his dread in them. And they may put you out because of that dread. But they also may come to your feet and ask you, what is the hope that is within you? And you, with boldness, should be able to give to every man an answer for that hope. May all the days we learn together to see that God is with us, worship him, enjoy him, praise your everlasting God that he has fulfilled his good word and has fulfilled all of his promises to you. Let's pray. Lord our God, we are incredibly blessed today and excited to say that you are with us. Asking for forgiveness that in the course of life we have often not demonstrated that, and that even our sin and departure and our running, all of these things that we do, demonstrate a lack of trust in what you have said. But we pray that you would woo our hearts and that you would overcome that. And that like Abraham, we would gain great boldness in the faith, being strengthened in the faith, believing that what you have promised, you are able to perform. And may our light be shown as an aroma to this world, the aroma of Christ to those who are being saved and to those who are perishing, but with the goal that all would come and bow to the true King, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
And amen. What an encouraging time together in God's Word today here in Genesis. We trust and hope that today's program has done just that, encouraged you in Christ, kings, kingdoms, and one Lord over all. Now, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Questions and comments are always welcome. In fact, if you have a smartphone, simply access your voice memo app. Leave us a question. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. We'll do our best to get Pastor Chris to answer it for you here on the program. Praise reports are welcome as well. Again, questions@agradio.org is where you would email your voice memos. And if you wish to write to us or give us a call, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. First, as always, our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. You know, we have a lot of friends who have come alongside of us financially and prayerfully, committing to partnering with us that this program continues on this radio station. It's our prayer that you would join that growing list of friends and Abounding Grace Radio family members who are concerned about this broadcast, are encouraged by it, and committed to seeing that it continues on this radio station. If you are, please contact us today. No gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift, it all makes a huge difference as we continue ministering the gospel here on this radio station. Reach us at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. Well, let's take a look at tomorrow's program, shall we? Pastor Chris takes us to Genesis 22 and an amazing request with an amazing response from Abraham.
I want you to take that which is most precious to you in this life, the most precious to you. And I want you to violently slaughter him. By your own hand, I want you to put him through that awful, painful death, and I want you to see it, and I want you to experience it. You execute him. God has just leveled upon this man a crisis of faith, a total crisis. What kind of request is that? I mean, this is radical. You know, Abraham doesn't know it's a test. I got to remind myself that. How could God say this? How absurd to ask Abraham to negate the reality that had reversed his years of disappointed hope cruel. The question that he's wrestling with is, how can God be true to his promise if I sacrifice Isaac? No comments. You don't get it here in the narrative. All you get is this immediate submission and obedience.
That's tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us then. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.